It's time for Explore Fairbanks on KFAR Radio, talking everything tourism and exploring all that the Golden Heart City has to offer for visitors and residents alike. Brought to you by Explore Fairbanks, located in the Morris Thompson Cultural and Visitor Center in downtown Fairbanks. And now, here's the crew from Explore Fairbanks.
And we've got ourselves a crew of one today. Good morning. Welcome to Explore Fairbanks, your radio destination for all things tourism and exploration in the Golden Heart City. I'm your host, Jerry Evans, wearing my hat today as the Public Relations Manager at Explore Fairbanks. And today we're gearing up for the upcoming World Ice Art Championships, which start in just over a week. And joining me in the studio is Dean Damaris, an artist from Ice Alaska. Dean, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me in, Jerry.
I'm really looking forward to this because this is one of those things, born and raised here in Fairbanks, I always look forward to the World Ice Art Championships, and it's going to be great this year. So now, I was talking with you earlier, but off mic, and you're not from Fairbanks. When did you start coming up here, and why?
Yeah, I ain't from around these parts, Jerry.
No?
I'm from Dallas, Texas.
Okay.
First started coming up here in 07. I had a few years I didn't come back, but I came back in 13, and I've been here just about every year since.
So was it ice carving that brought you up to?
No question. Yeah,
okay.
No question. Yeah, ice carving brought me up here, and it's kept me hanging around and kept me wanting to come back. You know, I love the town. I love the place. I love this time of the year. You know, it's to tell my friends back home that you can watch the sunrise from one place and watch the sunset, and it never got above a fist in the air.
No, right.
Just kind of skims along the top and goes right back down. It's hard for people to really understand. It was hard for me to understand that until I really got here, and that's what I fell in love with the place.
Right. That's what photographers love, that because they call it the golden hour, but for photographers, it's golden hour all day in Fairbanks, that time of year.
Yeah.
So how long have you been carving? Let's start there.
I first started carving ice back in 1988. I was studying to be a chef. We did this one day in class, and never stepped foot in a kitchen.
Excellent. So this now is your full-time job, right?
Full-time job. Done this ever since 88.
Now, it's got to be a little different because up here you can carve it, and you and others get to admire your work for long periods of time.
I'm guessing
in Dallas, that's not the case.
Not quite the same. Usually there, it's more of a business-oriented event where we're going in setting up something. We may set up as much ice as you'll see here in some of these sculptures.
Okay.
But it's only going to be on display for an hour, maybe 2 hours. You might get a party that's long enough in 5 or 6 hours. I've had an event where we spent 6 hours, six guys spent 6 hours setting up the sculptures. The event that we were there for lasted 45 minutes. We literally had to, by the time we got back to the parking lot, jumped off our loaded truck, sent the first guys home, the second guys and myself went back in and tore it right down.
Wow.
Okay. So it's a lot of times it is something very quick, very fast.
Sure.
Marketing, promotion ideas, different new brandings
that we'll do.
And stuff like that for bigger corporations and companies. I do a little bit of weddings, but I try not to mess with those too much.
Sure. Okay, now let's talk real quick. I want to let people know that the World Ice Art Championships are going to be kicking off on February 17th. That's when the playground will be open and the first of the competitions will be starting. Let's start there when you talk about the ice. Now, the World Ice Art Championships being in Fairbanks, a lot of that probably has to do with the fact that it's cold enough, you can carve and it'll stay up a while. But the ice also comes into play in the quality of the ice, correct?
Not just the quality of the ice, the size of the ice as well. You know, this is one of those places Alaska can step forward and say that, yeah, they do things a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
And Texas has got to sit here and take a back seat to
All right, yeah.
But the blocks are huge. The blocks are mammoth. They're the Arctic diamonds, as a lot of us refer to them.
Right.
And it's seeing something that clear, that blue, that deep, and the transparency of the end product. Just absolutely illuminates when it lights up at night, you know, and it gets you hooked. You know, as an artist, you don't get to do these things in this size and this proportion. You can only hope that a corporate client would have the money and be able to spend something and do something like this.
Right.
Where to come up here and now be able to do whatever the hell I want to.
Yeah.
You know, whatever design, whatever style, and I can take chances within reason. You know, and those chances within reason, you only find out over time and. That they get you more addicted to coming back here and hoping for a good cold year.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. For you guys.
Too cold can be bad.
Right, of course. Yeah. But
you want it to be cold enough and
for long enough of a period of time. Too.
Yeah.
But you know what? It's funny that you talk about how clear the ice here, and it is, and that's what makes it amazing to view. But that's also what makes it harder to properly photograph. And that's what I always tell people, because we have photographers that come up here to try to capture, and some of them do a pretty good job, but you just can't fully capture it. That's why you really need to see it and walk around it, because the photos, they just don't do it justice.
No, you've got to... we've had some wonderful photographers work with our group in the past that do some absolutely gorgeous stuff. A lot of it is people will come back and alter photos and Photoshop stuff.
Sure.
But when you can see those true beautiful shots that are someone took the time and got in the right place and sat there at the right moment and made sure, it's a patience thing. You know, you can capture the piece and see it, but that translucency of the object also can hinder it, because you do get light from other sources and you do get refractions that'll pop in. And photographers can't figure it out. A new photographer can. Good photographers can figure it out pretty easy. But getting your distance so it looks like there's separation, the translucency, transparency works with the trees that are back behind it in a bad way sometimes.
Right.
You know, I'll go through and knock snow off the trees before the competition if I know it's within my photographic sight.
Okay.
If it's in that, what we call the magic spot.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, this is the standing point. This is the one place we want everybody to look at it from, because we knocked all the snow off the trees. The arm comes out this way. You see the head turn a specific way, and you have that one view, and however you can do to accent is what you want to do. And if it means knocking down trees or knocking down snow off the trees, then you get up there and clear the trees off, you know, because that's what's going to make the photographic difference.
Yeah. And boy, and what an amazing event. So let's talk about...
I've gone through and turned lights off on other sculptures just so I could get my photographs at night. I'll shut the lights off on half the park if I need that photograph and I really want it. Usually I can get someone to stand in the way or get something propped up in different areas to help camouflage those things. But no, I try to get as much of that out of the way as I can.
Right, because the photo that represents it will live on.
Yeah.
The sculpture itself.
It's only here for a short time.
It just does not. So, again, we're starting up the World Ice Art Championships here, and I should probably say right down to this is for KFAR, so it's at the fairgrounds.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
I mean, but for those of you that may be listening and are planning on visiting, it's down there on College Road. What is it? 1800 College Road, but the Tanana Valley Fairgrounds. So when it first opens up on the 17th. That's when some of the competitions are starting. You can watch them. You can see go into place. But immediately on the 17th, the playground and a lot of things are open to the public to play around on and have fun with.
Yep. Yeah, 17th, everything opens up and the multi-block competition begins. So if you were to show up that first night, or first afternoon, the kids will be going out playing. We have two big snow slides. One's a spiral slide. We have two creek slides that'll... we're hoping to really get up some good speed on those and get some kids going down really fast. We think we're about to hit it with a blowtorch today and give it a good test run. So it looked really slick last night when they went through the first run. So we're all excited about that.
I love the fact that you guys call it the kids park. But when you say kids, that's pretty much anybody from 85 on down. Because not only is it the slides, but it's also you guys have had different games in the past for everybody to play. Like I've seen cornhole, ping pong. There's been a number of different things.
Well, including in ice hockey this year.
Okay.
So we have a quote-unquote ice hockey table with the pucks and the like you would on a typical air hockey table.
Yeah, yeah.
So we got a ice hockey table in this year, and we have checkerboards. We have a three-hole putt-putt course, and we have I forget what the other one was. I know they have something else they're working on over there.
Nice. Always so much fun. Again, if you've just tuned in, we're talking to Dean Demarius, an ice carver, or an artist, I should say, who's up here for the World Ice Art Championships. And, of course, it's been cold. It's going to be cold for a while. So people should dress accordingly.
Yeah.
But there's also usually an area for people to warm up if they need it. Is that true this year as
Correct.
Well?
Correct, yes.
Okay.
This year we'll have a little warming hut over in the Lions building. Okay. It's a yellow building on site there in the fairgrounds for those that are local and know the Lions building. It's an easy one for you. It'll be right across from the slides and all the kids' area. They'll have some hot chocolate in there and sandwiches and chips and stuff, light little snacks for everyone, but a nice warming area.
Nice. And you know what? The one thing that I don't know if this falls under your umbrella, probably not because you're an artist, but also there's daily passes that you can purchase, but you can also buy a season pass, and that's
correct.
Really, if you're from here especially,
it's
that's
the
really
way to
good
go.
Way
it's
to
where
do
the
it.
Deal is. If you're going to go more than three times even, it's the deal to go. That way you know if someone else is coming in and you just want to go hang out with the friends for the night. Yeah. We have several on big nights that are coming up. And for anybody that sees the park on the 17th, you really have to go back and look at it again 2 days later, three right. days later, and even 6 days later once multi-block is done, that next week two-man competition kicks in. So that first few days typically that people walk around the 17th and 18th, you're really not going to see a lot of art being built yet in the competition.
Right.
A lot of that first few days is just us moving blocks around, getting blocks stacked, getting rough shapes in. But you can start to see these things form. You can start to see the structures build up.
Right.
But by day three, day four, you're really seeing, get an impact of the piece and get a good idea for what it's going to be and see the size of it, see that some of these pieces are 18, almost 20 feet tall, and really understand the size of what you're working with.
Right. And you know, I tell a lot of people, because I bring up writers and journalists, and of course, if they're up here for this time of year, that's a must do. But I always make sure that they go twice during the day, like once during the daytime,
yeah.
because it's a lot different.
The
but
magic
boy, once that
at
place
night,
lights
though.
Up at
yeah,
night,
the
that's
magic
so
at night,
cool.
even for us as sculptors, you know, we've been out there doing it. And once the colors come on and the competition and the judging's over with, the park looks different. You have a wholly different look on the place. And it's magical out there.
it really is. And it's such a cool thing. We're talking on KFAR radio, so for the typical KFAR listeners, they know. They come out there to this stuff. But boy, if you haven't been out in a while or it's been a while, refresh your memory on just how cool this is and come on out and check it out. Now, in the past, the competition has been going on since 1988. And for a while, it built up to having, well, it is the World Ice Art Championship. So we've had carvers from all over the world, all kinds of different continents. And of course, in 2020, that kind of derailed everything.
Everything
but now,
changed.
From what I understand, they're starting to come back. They're trickling in.
Yep. Everybody's slowly coming in. Japan came back last year. We have two teams from Japan coming this year. China couldn't quite make it in this year. I know we have Australia, Scotland. I think we have two other countries coming in as well. Okay, I can't think of them right off the top of my head.
Now that must be really fun for you also, because you've been coming up here and you're a part of this now.
Yeah.
Part of the ICE family in Fairbanks. But for people who are carvers like you are in Dallas for, you know, displays for, mm-hmm. you know, buffets and different events and that kind of stuff, but it must be such a rush to turn these people on to carving outside in Fairbanks.
Oh, yeah.
It's so different than what I'm guessing most of them expect.
Yes. And there are a lot of people that everybody hears the numbers. Oh, my gosh, it's minus 40. And don't get me wrong. I'm here to say as well, minus 40 is cold.
It is.
My very first trip up here when I left Dallas, it was 72 degrees. I landed here, it was minus 52.
Welcome
total,
to Fairbanks.
Total, yes. Yep. Total culture shock. Yeah, that's a WTF. Welcome to Fairbanks. That's
yes.
right. That's a true WTF. Welcome to Fairbanks. And but now it's even you can see it in other people, and you can see how you try and compensate for this and that, and you realize that all of a sudden it's minus 4, and you're like, oh, God, I've shed layers today. This is awesome.
Yeah.
You know, and today we're supposed to get up to 20. We're nervous. You know, that makes us nervous just because everything gets works a little bit different. But
If
it stays cloudy, it'll be perfect.
So at what temperature do you start to get worried? Or let me rephrase that. You probably worry all the time, like you said, when it's 20 above, but at what temperature does it really start to affect maybe the quality of the product and your carving?
Somewhere around that 20 degrees.
Okay.
17, I've seen do just fine, but I've seen 20 break the ice and shatter it. A lot of it has to do with the sunshine coming in, because the sun acts like a prism and warms the ice up from the inside. And so that warming effect, you literally will just shatter the block. It may put just a crack in it. Other times we've seen it just total spider web the whole piece.
Now, we were talking again off mic, but I want to make sure that we get to include that. Towards the end of the show, we'll talk about some, because there's been a few mishaps, you know, and some things.
There's been a few.
So there's a couple good stories there, so we're gonna save that one till the end. Once again, we're talking with Dean Damaris, right?
Yep.
Okay, from ICE Alaska, originally from Texas, but comes up and becomes part of our Fairbanks family here at least once a year. So now I'm typically used to going old school. It seemed like it was always a single block and the multi-block.
It was.
But now you guys are doing a few additions and even doing something that can incorporate novices and maybe just family fun. So can you tell us about a few of those maybe?
Yeah, sure. We used to be, as you knew, started off with single block and went to multi-block. All the old-timers, we used to refer to it as Christmas and New Year's. everybody got together for single block. It was kind of like Christmas. We're having fun. We get to New Year's, and everybody, it's just a blowout. And that's multi-block.
Nice. Okay.
So a lot of the – we tried doing that the first year, and just due to where we are now and getting equipment in and being able to move pieces around, we moved multi-block to the first. That gave multi-block all the room they needed. Now, multi-block doesn't have to worry about interfering with other sculptures or the boom truck running into other pieces or damaging other areas. Right. So it was a lot better for us to be able to get a lot of that heavy equipment, the scaffolding that we use in those cases, get all that out of the way. So when we get down to the what used to be the two-man classic, the single-block classic, is now actually a two-block event. The block's a little smaller.
Okay.
We use 2 6-foot blocks as opposed to using 1 8-foot block.
Got it.
Volume-wise, it's about the same amount of ice, but it's the same principle. 2 guys, 10,000 pounds, 3 days. The new one we added in this back 5 years ago, it was a single man competition. And the single man is just 1 guy, 1 block, 3 days.
Okay.
And after going through multi-block and two man, you have this team atmosphere, this family group that we all build, and all of a sudden it's down to just 1 guy. It gets lonely. You're tired. You've been here for weeks on end. Your body's beaten up. And we all have to rally each other at times to get us through those events. But the single block is a lot of fun. And it adds a lot to it. And we added on another reward for that will be given out after singles, and that's kind of an overall champion. So whoever places highest in all three events, there will be an additional prize money for that.
Great.
We've got a family event that we're doing in snow.
I like
that. That's the one. Yeah, that's the one we'd really like to promote, because if you've got just a little bit of artistic influence, or even if you don't, but you like, it looks like fun.
Sure.
Snow is a lot easier and not near as dangerous, because you don't have to use quite as dangerous the tools. Using a chisel, you can use a dull chisel on this, and it doesn't have to be perfectly razor sharp. You don't have to use chainsaws on it. You can bring a trowel from home or one of your hand saws, log saws, and that'll work just fine to be able to scoop these shapes. You want something rounded, you know, get a little spoon, get that big stainless steel spoon out of the kitchen. That'll work just fine.
So it's going to be that compact that you may need or want to do some saw. Okay, so it's not just piling up a bunch of snow and saying chisel.
We got a big blower that comes in. We'll front end load it, and the blower will come in. We have on the front end of a bobcat like you would to use a small street.
Okay.
And we will blow that snow and compact it in there so it's really dense. I made a snow sculpture just this past week. It was an 8x8 cube. So if you want to get up on the top and sculpt anything up on top, you got to find a way to get up there. Well, I'm going to say it, but don't tell anybody, all right? I was a little lazy. I didn't feel like dragging out scaffolding, okay? So what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to cut steps right into the middle of the sculpture. So that way I can literally make my own steps where I want to, and I can stand on top of that sculpture and cut it without ever having to use a ladder,
Right. Break
out scaffolding, break out steps, because I can do everything. And that's where a little more pre-planning comes in.
Sure.
And I'm certainly not the best at it by any means. I'm a novice snow sculptor, but I really enjoy it. So I enjoy these learning curves.
Yeah.
I face it a few times and realize that, I got to go get a ladder because I can't finish this.
See, I love the fact that I didn't even think about this till now, because I took high school shop class, and so many people's planned product turned out to be, and I'm air quoting, abstract. So I love with ice carving. My guess is that some of them start out being something, and then after it gets to a point, you know what? No, it's abstract.
I do really great abstract pieces. I do a lot of them. My difference is I start out abstract. I don't even try to kid you to begin with.
But some of the abstract are probably people who screwed up on the non.
There's plenty of those, I'm sure.
Okay, yeah, I'm sure there are. Plenty of those. I like the honesty. All right. We should probably give the website. It's IceAlaska, is it .org?
.org is where it is.
Okay.
.com you can also go to. Both of them are registered and go to the same place.
And so you can register. And once again, you're encouraging people to register for this. It sounds like a fun family event's
going to be great. Yeah, it's a lot of fun, because it doesn't matter how many people you have. You just come out as a good family event, drinking hot chocolate and letting the kids play with a few tools and make some pieces, you know.
I've seen
a couple of them where the dads got in and they were really excited, or the high school kid, you know, kind of found that new little niche, you know. So that's what we're hoping for, you know, that these are out there for people, and there are crazy avenues that life can take you.
Yeah, and it'd be nice to get the invite, and we'll see if we can help as well with that, and the folks here at KFAR and all the other radio stations here, by getting the word out to the military folks, because I know how it is being in the military. You're always looking for something to do and something to become involved in the community and feel part of it. And this This sounds like it would be perfect for a group of military kids to come in and try to work on the
and
snow.
We had the military in. We had two groups come in last year, did a little work around. We were able to get some of them to do the physical work. Some of them got to do sculptures and compete in the collegiate competition. So we're really trying to expand these things and pull in different avenues and get the community involved. Like I say, a lot of the people that we have here working right now are volunteers from out of state. We have a lot coming in from out of town, but we'd love to get more people from here inside Fairbanks.
That sounds like a good time for us to take a quick commercial break. And once again, you're listening to Explore Fairbanks, and we're talking the World Ice Art Championships with Carver and volunteer coordinator Dean Damaris. We'll be back to tell some stories about things that have happened in the past that might not have went the way that they wanted to, and maybe they wound up being in the abstract category. And we'll also let you know how you can get involved in one way or another, because they can sure use the help down there. It's such a great community event. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be back with more of Explore Fairbanks on KFAR.
We will continue to explore Fairbanks right after this short message from our sponsors.
With northern lights in the sky and plenty to do on the ground, winter in Fairbanks offers something for everyone. Let Explore Fairbanks help you discover all there is to see and do this winter in Fairbanks. Visit explorefairbanks.com to browse the events, calendar, find businesses to visit, or check out the Fairbanks Winter Guide. You can also visit us 7 days a week inside the Morris Thompson Cultural and Visitor Center in downtown Fairbanks. From dog mushing to ice sculptures and skiing to theater, get out. Explore Fairbanks this winter.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs, starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m. The Buzz at 11:30. Brought to you by the Tanana Herb Company. Followed by Health Talk with Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical at noon. And then it's the Compos Outdoor Show at 12:30. Fairbanks Foodies at 1 p.m. And Explore Fairbanks at 1:30. All 3 hours of local shows can be found on the KFAR website in the archive section. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio. Now back to Explore Fairbanks on KFAR Radio.
And we're back with Explore Fairbanks, talking once again the World Ice Art Championships. I'm with Carver Dean Damaris. And Dean, one thing we want to talk about, because especially the KFAR listeners are so civically minded, you guys are always looking for volunteers to help out. And plenty of openings still for this year, I'm guessing.
Yes.
Okay.
There's always different positions that pop up, or different positions where we had somebody a year before that couldn't make it back. And a lot of our volunteers have been with this organization for 15, 18, some of them 25 years. Some of the volunteers were even competitors back in the late 80s when all this started. So we're just always looking to grow our foundation up a little bit more. We have different odd jobs that can go around, anywhere from ticket booth to sales to a light security area where you're just, you know, making sure people are staying out of the way and not climbing on the sculptures.
Right, right.
But heavy equipment operators is something we're looking for. Anybody that can operate a telehandler or something like that, a little more specific job. But that's one we personally, as a family, we got hit hard with this year. We lost a member of our family, and he was one that's been with the organization for a long time. And it's a very finesseful job. I like to tell people, imagine picking up a 5,000-pound piece of crystal and setting it on top of another 5,000-pound piece of crystal and not breaking anything.
Right.
That's the type of job we're looking for.
Yeah, yeah.
But I know they're up here, and I know there are plenty of guys and plenty of heavy equipment operators that just didn't think that this is part of the job or part of something that would be needed, you know. But if we can get it out there just to get a few that aren't working in the wintertime because the ground's a little hard right now, but we got ice that needs to be picked.
Well, I think you came to the correct airways, KFAR. So if anybody out there is a heavy equipment operator or you know somebody that is, please mention that to them, because this, again, is one of those things where it's such a great community event and great to be part of it in any way, whether it's just going out to watch it, to view it a few times, to bring visiting friends and family like we all do, bring the kids out. But also to get involved and feel like you're part of it. And you can volunteer a number of levels. Once again, you can go to Ice Art. Let's see, is it?
IceAlaska.com or IceAlaska.org.
And either one will get you there.
Either one will get you there.
Okay. So now we're talking, and we talked about volunteers. And we saved ourselves a couple of minutes here because I know there's stories. You've been coming up here since 07. It's been going on since 88. And I joke about, you know, arms falling off and something turning from a plan sculpture to an abstract sculpture. But there have been some pretty large pieces that have not quite made it to the judging.
Yeah. Some crashes you cannot overcome. Okay. You know, one of the more famous was back in, I guess it was early aughts. Junichi out of Japan did a piece, I think it was Bluebird or something, where a bird of paradise was landing on a lady's hand. And he was cutting the supports out. She was laying down lengthwise. The whole piece was probably 15, 18 feet wide. Cut the support out, and the whole thing split in the middle, crashed, ice flying all over the place. He was safe. He was fine. He was standing far enough away, using a big enough saw to keep out of the area. But it was one of those, for a few seconds in there, you just didn't quite know. You know, and you're waiting to see him come out from behind the camera and behind the rubble, and hopefully he's still standing.
Yeah, and it's so, I mean, there are some pieces, obviously, that are bottom base heavy, where that's, but there's some pretty intricate ones where there's a lot of up top weight.
Yeah,
a lot of elevation, a lot of overhang. I'm guessing when you guys have the initial support ice in there, I'm guessing you guys are holding your breath when you're cutting those things out of there.
Yep. No question. Yep. Yeah. 2013, we did a samurai. He was 22 feet tall to the hilt, coming down with a striking blow. We had a center support that was right underneath his skirt, and we knew it was going to stand. We had so many problems right at the very end. We had four saws that went bad on us within last four minutes of the competition. Two saws through their chain, and two other saws were froze up. Competition ended. We still had our support in. Captain wanted to cut it because we knew it would stand. Everybody's telling us, oh, leave the support. It's okay. It's okay. You know, and we're like, no, we know it'll stand. And so after the competition, we went ahead and walked right over there, cut it off, got the red flag dropped on us, got disqualified, but we knew it would stand.
Yeah, right.
You know, I'm 6 foot, and our entire team stood underneath that skirt and took a team photo at the end. It was that tall.
You're that confident in it.
Yeah.
Well, of course, we're talking the World Ice Art Championships coming up here in Fairbanks, and they start up February 17th. Now, we can always tell you exactly when the start date's going to be, but the end date, that's always a mystery, isn't it?
No. End date's there. We got
is that right?
Yep, we got 6 days on this. We got 6 days. That's it.
But, I mean, the park sometimes will stay open.
Oh, the park's going to stay open.
The competitions, but the park will stay open. As long as
it's cold and it's safe.
As long as it's safe. And that's the big thing.
Once the ice, we were talking earlier about that temperature, crazy temperature range.
Right.
20 degrees, 25, even 30 degrees can be fine as long as we're overcast. But anything over that 15 degree mark with sunshine, like I've sat out here at minus 40, beautiful sunny day, cold as all get out, but no problems with the ice.
Yeah.
Enough of that lingering fog, enough of those refractions keep the sun rays away. The sun isn't close enough or at the right angle to get the greenhouse effect going yet. But now, once we get into 1st of March, we are looking at that. Okay. And so by the 1st of March, Fairbanks does start to feel that greenhouse effect from the sun.
Sure.
So the ice really shows it.
Got it. We could sit here and talk much longer, but unfortunately, Dean, we're out of time.
No, we're going to go into a second show, right?
We might be here next week. You never know, Dean. All right, well, thanks again, and thanks, Dean, for coming in and spending time with us.
No, thank you, Jay. I do appreciate all you guys do with us.
All right. Well, you've been listening to Explore Fairbanks here on KFAR Radio as we prepare for the World Ice Art Championships. Once again, starting up February 17th, you can go to icealaska.com or icealaska.org. Either one of them will get you there. Remember, the championship's taking place at the Tenino Valley State Fairgrounds located at 1800 College Road. For more information and to discover how you can be part of this wonderful community event, visit explorefairbanks.com. And don't forget, you can catch this episode and all past shows on the KFAR archives page at kfarradio.com. This has been a presentation of Last Frontier Media Active.
You have been listening to Explore Fairbanks on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com. To listen back to this program or any past shows, simply log on to our website and click on the archives page. Explore Fairbanks has been a production of Last Frontier Media Active.